Hello, Cowboys Nation, everyone tuning in. You are listening to Cowboys Zone with your host, Ashley Baker, and I am alongside Josh Vincent. Josh,
hey.
How are you? What's going on, man?
I'm good. I'm chilling. Literally,
I feel like we haven't done this show in forever. We haven't done the show since the Minnesota game. That was a long 10 days.
It was.
Like between games, it was a really long 10 games. You been all right? You feeling that 11-2? We are 11-2, folks. Dallas Cowboys have dropped to 11-2. How you?
when it first all happened, I had all my black on, and I was crying. I was just,
oh, God.
I was just
you
all
like
over
Billy
it.
Joe.
I was, yeah,
you
man.
Like Billy Joe.
I was like Billy Joe. I was just like, let me try to imitate him. Dog, dog. I just thought they were just going to pull the deck. Pull the deck was out there just trying his little hardest. But, you know, it's all right. All right. We're going to be all right.
Dallas is still in a great position. So we're going to get into it. Again, the Dallas Cowboys fall to the New York Giants for the second time this season. The Giants seem to be the Cowboys kryptonite here.
Yeah,
definitely seem to have the Cowboys number. What are your takeaways from the game, Josh? Great game.
Yeah.
Low scoring.
Great game. Yep.
I believe I called the Giants to win that game at Cowboys Nation. I know y'all was probably upset with me, but sometimes
you
can just feel it. And I didn't jinx them. I had a gut feeling, folks, and the gut feeling was right. So tell me, Josh, your takeaways from the game, man. How do you feel about the loss?
I think it's great that they lost this game, because I think sometimes you have to lose in order to appreciate winning. And I know that sounds so cliche. I know people are thinking like, what are you talking about? But, I mean, Dak Prescott looked like a true blue rookie out there. And I don't think anything is necessarily wrong with that. I didn't like the reaction after the game, but I don't think anything was wrong with that. I mean, they played the Giants as best as they possibly could, I guess you could say. And as you mentioned, this was a defensive game. We talked about this kind of going into the game. You may remember I gave a 10-day forecast, and I was talking about my main concern with Dak Prescott being out there in New York. He's never played in the snow. His brother confirmed that with me when we were texting the other day. He's never played in the snow like that. That was just probably the coldest game he's ever played in. And with that all being said, it actually showed. He had two interceptions. Coming into this game, Dak only had three interceptions on the season. He had two in that game versus the Giants. So I say all of that. He was 17 for 37 on 465 yards. I think this was a great game to show the Cowboys good things do come to an end, and you guys have to go back and regroup. And they have a hell of a matchup coming up against Tampa Bay. We'll definitely talk about that later. But just to answer the question, I guess in short, I think this was a good loss for the Cowboys. It's not the end of the world. They are still in position to, number one, win the division, number two, have home field advantage. Yes, it's a little more complicated. It's not as simple as just beating the Giants. But to, you know, act as if the season is over with and all hell is breaking loose, I thought that was just a little extra. The way the reaction of the game after the fact, I think that was a little extra.
Yeah.
What about you?
Listen, folks. You guys have not seen this side of Ashley. You know, Josh is the calm one. I'm the one that's going, you know, turn up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to see Dallas lose. I don't care if it was a good loss I really don't like to see that. But let me just put this out there right now, and we can throw shade and take jabs at this the entire show. Dak had an awful game. He went 17 for 37, 465 yards with one touchdown and, as you mentioned, two interceptions. Zeke did get his 107 yards on 24 attempts, his longest only being about 15 yards. Dez Bryant was pretty much a non-factor. Cole Beasley, you know, non-factor. Jason Witten wasn't really – Dallas really couldn't develop any type of rhythm in this game. We got to take our hats off to the New York Giants, New York football Giants. They played a great defensive game. what I am most proud of and disappointed at with at the same time is the Giants weren't the best defense on the field.
Yes.
The Cowboys were. Mm-hmm. Easily the best defensive game they have had the entire season when it mattered, when it really mattered. And that game mattered. I mean, that game would have clinched the division, and that game would have clinched the first round bye. It wouldn't have clinched home field, but it would have definitely clinched the first round bye and the division title. So they showed up. The offense did not. As you mentioned, Dak looked like a true blue rookie. I think he hit his rookie wall, and I think that he struggled the last two games. You mentioned, you know, he had came in to the game with 3 interceptions, left with a total of 5 on the year. And I definitely think that the game, they're going to look at tape a lot more in depth now that they've lost the game. I'm not happy about the loss, as I mentioned, because I never want to see them lose.
Right.
However, you know, it is what it is. Again, they're still in control of their own destiny. They're still in the driver's seat. And it is what it is. However, I will throw this out there, and we are going to talk about this later on in the show. Cowboys Nation, shut the hell up about sitting Dak down, okay? The boy has gone on an 11-game winning streak.
Yeah.
I didn't hear y'all calling for Tony Romo's head when he was 8-8 for 3 straight seasons and has been worse the seasons before then, okay? Again, we're going to get into that later because I don't like what I'm seeing. I don't like what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that, you know, as time go on, as the season wears on, they're going to be calling for Romo. They're going to sit Dak down. I mean, just shut up, okay?
Yeah,
and y'all know I love
Cowboys.
Listen, I'm a part of Cowboy Nation. I like y'all. But listen, as I stated, we're going to get into that a little later. Let's jump back to the defensive side of the ball, though. Again, one of the best defensive performances of the season, easily, against a hot offense that can get hot. New York has not been hot the past couple of games, but they can get hot. However, Dallas managed to keep them to 10 points. That receiving core they have, Odell and Victor Cruz, they kept him in check besides that long 60-plus yard play that Odell had, which happened on Brandon Carr's watch, as most big plays does, but I'm not going to throw no shade. How would you rate the defense, Josh, on a scale for 1 to 10? How would you rate their performance on a Sunday night?
I mean, without question, you got to get them an 8 or a 9. I mean, I would have gave them a 10 if Dallas actually would have won the game. I mean, they contained Eli Manning for 17 for 28 for 193 yards. And as you mentioned, he had 1 touchdown and 1 interception as well. You look at the rushing yards, they only had a total of, 93, if I'm not mistaken, on 33 carries, you know, with all the players and involved Jennings, Perkins, Rantley, and even Manning had he had a negative 2 yards. But even in the receiving, 193 yards, as you mentioned, the only big gain that they had was that 61-yard by Beckham. So the defense did everything that they were supposed to do, and that's one thing that we were talking about prior to the game. We were talking about how would this defense, you know, really hold up, because we've seen games where the defense kind of gave up some plays, right? If you go back to the Minnesota game, it wasn't necessarily the defense that kept, you know, the Cowboys from winning that game. It was the special teams of the Vikings. If you go even back to the Pittsburgh game, the defense gave up some, you know, some big plays to Big Ben, and it was Dak Prescott, who everybody is so ready to bench now, who had to, you know, drive that team all the way down the field, you know, with a little less than 2 or 3 minutes to go. And we saw that happen time and time again, even though they beat the Green Bay Packers. We even seen in the Packers game in some instances where Aaron Rodgers seemed to kind of have his way, and it was just a high-power offense that Dak Prescott and them just continued to score that helped them get beat victorious versus Green Bay. So we can kind of go down the line and show where different instances happen where the defense kind of gave up things, even when they played the Eagles. The defense gave up things, and we were wondering, like, how would this defense actually stand up against the high-power offense? And you're right. To say, hey, Dallas Cowboys lost that game by a score of 10-7, And the biggest gain in receiving was 61 yards by Beckham. You got to take your head off to them. It's just unfortunate because it was such a great defensive effort by the Dallas Cowboys, but their offense, they were unavailable for the game. And so it's
they
like,
stay home.
Right.
They
stay home.
They stay in
stay
Dallas.
Home.
They
stayed in Dallas.
I don't know what happened.
I don't
here.
Even,
I don't know what happened. I mean, I'm with you on this. I would have to rate them probably an 8 or 9. Again, if they had won the game, I probably would have rated them a 10 as well. They forced 3 turnovers.
They did.
In that game. And Dallas is not known for forcing turnovers. The only good thing that you can really take away from that game, to me, is the fact that the defense was so good. And you would just hope and pray that they continue to be this great. So when the offense begins clicking again, everybody's clicking on, you know, on all cylinders.
Exactly.
The offense will be rolling, the defense will be rolling, and they will be like a legit threat going into the playoffs. So, again, I'm with you. Would have given them a 10, had Dallas won the game, but I'm going to rate them 10, or, you know, 8 or 9. And just excited that the pass rush was there. I think Eli was sacked a couple of times, and you know, the turnovers were big, and you know, they put the offense in position to kind of, you know, in a sense, put the game away in some instances. I mean, 3 turnovers, you would expect at least 14 to 21 points had they, you know, been able to, you know, had they been able to score, but. You know, it didn't happen, but it's all right.
It's cool. We're going to send our hate mail to Dak and Zeke. I mean, we still love them, but, yeah, we definitely got some hate mail coming their way if the post office pick up the letter. I got them, you know.
Yeah, man. Listen, he's going to get it. They're going to get it together. That's one thing I can say that I think we all have learned. He is a great quarterback. One thing that I definitely think he needs to – recognize and learn. I mean, there were a lot of misreads. He just wasn't, he wasn't reading the defense well at all. At times he looked lost, he looked confused. And that's all right. It is what it is. Sometimes you just have those kind of games. Unfortunately, it happened on one of the biggest games where they could have clinched again a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. But
agreed.
I think he's a great quarterback. He's smart. I think he held the ball too long when they were blitzing. I think he'll learn to get that out of his hands a little quicker. But these receivers have got to be open. And when the receivers are open, they have to catch the ball, Desmond
Bryant. Oh, yeah, Mr.
Bryant.
Yeah.
You got to catch that ball, and you got to secure it. I am so sick of he didn't catch it. That wasn't a catch. Des gives himself – he is giving people ammo. When these kind of plays happen, you're giving them ammo to say you're not a top 5 receiver. You're giving them ammo to say, oh, he can't catch balls. You're giving them ammo all on to the daggone ball.
You know something funny? I was waiting for Josh Norman to make a tweet when Dez Bryant coughed up that ball, because if that drive could have been successful, the Cowboys could have possibly won
that
game.
As a matter of fact, that would have been a first down in that drive, you know what I mean? And at least move the chains and move the ball down enough to put, if you couldn't get it in the end zone, to at least put Dan Money Bailey in position to knock a field goal down and tie the game, you know. But, it just was not the Cowboys. That just wasn't the Cowboys' night offensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively, I cannot stop ranting and raving about how great the defense looked. Sean Lee was everywhere. Brandon Carr, besides giving up that long 61 yarder, you know, he wasn't too exposed. Byron Jones was all over the place. I mean, they played a pretty decent game, and they are going to need that against this red hot Bucks team that they are about to play Sunday night. Can I just say that Dallas, the Cowboys have become the kings of primetime.
They have.
They are.
This is
going to
be
like
their fourth game.
I think this is their fourth straight primetime game. Man, oh, man. So this should be a good one. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are scorching hot. They just beat their division rival, the Saints, on Sunday. And we all know how hard that offense can be to contain when you got Drew Brees dropping back. This is going to be a good game. This is why they flex. They flex this game. I think this game is supposed to be like 4 o'clock, but they flexed it to the 8 o'clock spot because they expected it to be so good. So this is going to be a good game with the Bucks. The Bucks are in the hunt. Teams like the Redskins and a couple of other in-the-hunt teams kind of need the Bucks to lose a little bit. So we got, you know, a couple bandwagon fans that are going to be rooting for Dallas this game.
Yeah, everybody back at the DMV, I'm sure they're all, come on. Let's go,
yeah.
Cowboys, win this game.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Tell me, what do you see? What do you see for this game? What do you see? Let's stay on the defensive side. What do you see one of Dallas' biggest defensive struggles that may occur in this game?
Containment Famous Jameis. I mean, I think Famous you're going to have to. You're going to have to contain Famous Jameis. I mean, you look at this. You look at Tampa Bay, as you mentioned, they've only lost two games since October 10th. They've been on a roll, and they beat some pretty decent opponents. It's not like
yeah.
they had an easy schedule. They beat Seattle. They kept Seattle to 5 points. So speaking of defense, they have a great defense on their side already. You kept Russell Wilson to 5 points. They played the Chiefs and they won that game narrowly 19-17. They beat the Chicago Bears, which, you know, everybody beat the Bears. But, you know, and they beat the Saints in the dog fight 16-11 this past Sunday. So what I'm concerned about with Dallas, both things are going to have to happen at the same time. Dak Prescott is going to have to be elite and great in his decision-making like he's been in that 11-game winning streak. And in addition to that, that Cowboys defense are going to also have to be the same Cowboys defense that we've seen in New York. What you don't want to have happen is you don't want to see Dak, he's doing his thing, he's reading everything, and everything is clicking, but the defense is giving up 30-yard passes every time you turn around. That's the last thing that you want to happen because, I mean, yeah, it'd be a high-scoring game, I guess, but my money would be more so on Tampa Bay's defense. Tampa Bay's defense is tough. They're tough as nails.
They are playing lights-out defense. They're definitely playing great defense.
And that's where it all boils down to, as you mentioned. Hey, look, Tampa Bay is starting to clips at a perfect time in the season. And they flexed this game for a reason because, yeah, this is the same team. You may remember a couple of weeks back we were talking about what team could possibly beat the Cowboys in the playoffs. You and I both said, hey, the Seahawks look scary. The Seahawks look the mess in Green Bay. I know you saw that. They looked the mess when they played against Tampa Bay a couple of weeks back. This team, Tampa Bay, they are playing against the Dallas Cowboys. And if they beat the world-renowned Dallas Cowboys, I mean, you can't sleep on Tampa Bay. You cannot. I mean, just to be honest, and then they got New Orleans and Carolina after that, which should be, again, a nice game against New Orleans. And then they should definitely put Cam Newton away and that fancy dressing that he'd be doing. They should definitely put that team away in January on the first. But, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. This is not going to be a cakewalk, and Dak Prescott is going to have to be elite. But that defense is definitely, bar none, it's going to have to be the exact same defense that we seen in New York.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on this as well. They have got to contain Jameis Winston. You know, he's going to dance in that parking and he's going to get busy. And it's already enough having to deal with, you know, the rushing by Martin, and, you know, they have Sims back there running the ball. And then, again, to have to deal with the mobile quarterback. They have an up because they're dealing with the same type of mobile quarterback in practice every day. You know, and Dak Prescott. So I think it's going to be a great game. Dallas has the next two games back at the ranch, so they'll be home for this Tampa Bay game. Do you have a score prediction? Who do you think will win a game?
I'm scared to say.
Woo! Listen, Cowboys Nation, again, you're listening in to Ashley Baker and Josh Benson here on Cowboy Zone. Can I just say, for the last couple of games, Mr. Vincent has been very quick with his predictions and Dallas Cowboys, and he doesn't have to think about it typically, and he is taking his time on this pick. So, Mr. Vincent, come on now. Who wins this game?
I got to go with Famous Jameis. I love Rain Dakota. I love Rain Dakota. My inner...
What?
I don't know. My inner Billy Joe is coming.
That was your inner Billy Joe right there. So, okay, what's the score?
I mean, man, I got to say, I can see this being one of those, like, 27-17 type games. I do think Dak is going to see the end zone a couple of times, but I'm concerned about the defense. I'm not necessarily concerned about Dak not doing well, but I'm concerned about that Tampa Bay defense. That defense is very tough. And to say, we only see one big, great defensive game effort from the Dallas Cowboys. And that was just against New York. Whereas we've seen great constant games from this defense with Tampa Bay. We've seen Dak Prescott on 11-game winning streak. So my money is cool with Dak. I think Dak is going to test his own. I think Dak is going to learn how to catch the ball. I think Dak remembers what color jersey he got on and what color his teammates are wearing because, you know, he thought he was playing for the Giants the other day. He was just throwing the ball at everybody.
Yeah,
I think Dak
–
right. Dak was just out there, oh, I saw blue. He just thought he was with the Giants. So
just,
I think Dak is going to be – right. I think Dak is going to be good, but I'm concerned about this defense because, yeah, you're right. Famous Jameis, you can't compare, like, him being a mobile quarterback to Dak because they are just in two different categories. Like, Famous Jameis made his life on being a running quarterback. Dak,
yeah,
he can do it a little bit, but Dak is a little more contained. Like, you know, Jason Garrett and them are trying to kind of have him be a little more down the field, kind of like a Romo.
Yeah.
So,
right,
you know, they're kind of, yeah, so they're kind of tuning his game a little bit, you know, and you can notice that it was times where Dak looked like he wanted to run, but then he ran into a defender. But Jameis, I mean, if this defense is not on point, I'm sorry, I have to say, Famous Jameis is gonna have his way in the start. And but hey, it's gonna be a great game, 8:30 set Eastern, 7:30 Central. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to fly to Dallas, you know, just to go to the game, just to be there, you know, as a fan. But
right.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, and I'm
right,
actually, yeah, I caught that. I don't know if everybody else caught it, but I caught that. So I'm actually going to go the opposite way this week. I'm actually going to go back to Dallas. They are at home. They are in clear understanding of what needs to happen going forward. And they need to get hot again right now. That first Dallas loss, you know, I think Dak said this in one of his interviews, that first Dallas loss against the Giants sparked that 11 streak winning streak. Mm-hmm. Perhaps another loss from the Giants will spark another streak. They don't even have to win 11 this time. They could just win out for the rest of the year, all year, Super Bowl, all that. So I'm going to go with Dallas, actually. I believe that the defense having such a great showing is actually going to carry over. It's nothing better than hearing, and of course you want your entire team to do well, but for 11 straight weeks, they have been hearing everything about the offense.
Yeah.
How great the offense has been, how great the offense has been keeping them off the field, how great the this particular week in Dallas is about the offense, but not in a positive way like it is about the defense. So for this particular week, they're taking that momentum. They're at home. It's prime time. I think it's going to be a good game. I think that Dallas is going to win that game. I'm going back to Dallas, getting back on track, averaging what they've been averaging for the season. I'm going to go 35-21 Dallas.
Ooh. Okay.
I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a big game. If I had to make it like a bold prediction, ooh, yes. If I have to make like a bold prediction, I'm going to have to say Zeke is probably going to give you almost 150 on the ground. On the ground.
I feel that.
I don't know.
And
again, this is against a great Tampa Bay defensive team, but I think he's going to have a good game. I think Dez is going to have this is going to be a redemption game for him. I think he's going to kind of ball out in a way. And one thing I need Dak to do is Dak has got to get back to getting Beasley involved. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what they're going to have to draw up more plays for Beasley. Like, for real, this needs to be Beasley's show. I mean, I think Dez is going to have a big game. He's going to make big plays when it matters down the stretch in that game. But this Cole Beasley, man, seriously, he's a beast. Like, to be as little as he is, he's a beast. So I'm going 35-21 in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to get another streak started. And then again, they play at home on Monday night against the Lions.
Yeah, they played the day after Christmas, I think December 26th against Detroit.
Yeah, they played the Lions. So that's going to be cool. That's who I have. It's going to be a great game, man. This is going to be a great game. And it's so funny because, like you were saying early in the year, I mean, who's that team that's going to knock off Dallas and who do they have to really – I mean, to be honest with you, as great as Tampa Bay is, Jameis Winston has not experienced playoff pressure. in a sense, he's kind of going through the exact same thing Dak is going through. You know, it's going to start getting harder when the playoffs start. It's a completely different level. When the playoffs start, everybody's 0-0. You know, so I think Jameis is going to have a nice day, but I think Dallas' defense will be the talk of the town again, in addition to the offense. So,
They're definitely going to need him. I have to say that. Yeah, they're definitely going to need that defense. I don't care how great Dak performs. Dak can give us 400-plus yards and 6 touchdowns
exactly.
if he wants to. If that defense is suspect, best believe Jameis is going to have just as many yards, just as many – hell, he'll have just as many running yards. So, yeah,
exactly.
That defense is definitely going to be the contingency of – big word. That defense is going to be the
nice.
Contingency.
That's a nice big word.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to
use
that
with
that's
friends.
A nice big word.
That is going to be the contingency if they win that game.
Well, the Cowboys need to win this game, mainly
they
because,
do.
Again, as I mentioned, Cowboys Nation is calling for Dak's head already. Good grief. The man can't even lose a game without them already ready to sit him. And it does not make it doesn't make it better when your owner, president, GM, whatever the hell Jerry Jones wants to call himself, man, decides to be that person to stir the pot. He is obsessed with Tony Romo. I, myself, for one, am sick and tired to death of it. Most of Cowboys Nation is sick and tired to death of it. However, I hear most of Cowboys Nation almost echoing the same thing that Jerry feels like he wants to echo, which is Tony Romo is going to come in at some point and help this team be champions at some point. I don't like it. I'm going to just go ahead and throw out, you know, a couple of comments that I heard that he said on his show earlier this week. I think somebody asked him, you know, again about the QB controversy. The man lose one game in 11 games, and again, we're back to QB controversy because Dak dropped that game. He dropped this game, but he has had 2 bad games back-to-back. We're just going to go ahead and put it out there. The Minnesota game was not a good game for Dak. This Giants game was not a good game for Dak. So he got a lot of people calling for his head. Jerry Jones did an interview on his radio show, asked about the QB controversy, and his remarks were, I think they asked him, when are you going to put Tony in? And he said, to the extent, you'll know it when you see it. And, you know, that just irritated me. That just really pissed me off with Jerry, because I'm like, Jerry, you cannot be this person. Like, it's not even about the right now. That comment didn't concern me about the right now. That comment concerned me about the future. Do you expect Tony Romo to play for the next 5 or 10 years? Let's just say Tony Romo came in, gosh darn it, took the Dallas Cowboys to the Super Bowl. Do you expect him to play for the next 5 or 10 years, or do you know for a fact that you have a 5 or 10 year player in Dak Prescott? Like, you have got to watch what you say. He just doesn't know what to say, and I understand it's him trying to stir the pot, and he doesn't understand that Dallas is in the limelight enough. You really don't have to say anything for the rest of the season, Jerry. You can really shut the
really
hell
don't.
Up. Trying to create controversy and trying to put Dallas in the spotlight and trying to do all this bogus mess he's doing. You don't have to do that. They're in a great position. Dallas is going to get talked about for the rest of the season. So for you to he just needs to watch what you said. You have a young rookie quarterback. And when you make comments like that, or when you make him unsure of himself, he could, in a sense, feel unappreciated. You know what I'm saying? And you just you don't want to. My question to you is, are you tired of Jerry's obsession with Tony? I am sick to death.
I agree
Jerry
with you.
Jones, period.
I am too. I mean, I wanted to give out an award, and it was called Shut the Hell Up Award, and it was going to be to Jerry Jones.
That's
understand that Jerry. Yeah, we have to put him in the Shut the Hell Up category, because it's like this. Look, I understand Jerry Jones. He's from Texas, Arkansas, wherever the hell he's from. I understand he likes the bright lights and he just likes all the attention. I'm cool with that. Cool. Dallas, they have so many media members there all the time. That's everything that we've been talking about. That's the reason why the NFL is putting them in all the primetime games. You look at some of the ratings, 10 million, 15 million, 20 million, some of the biggest games we've seen in years and decades just because the Cowboys are on TV. Yes, cool. But what Jerry does not realize is what he's saying is way more harmful than good, because you start to create a divide in that locker room. And this is the thing. Dak is a quiet guy. Dak is not the type to really to be outspoken. Even when we were there when Jerry Jones was calling Dak the daddy, the next day they was asking Dak about that, and he was just laughing off like, oh, daddy, I don't like kids. What is he talking about? Like, he's not the type to be like, hey, bruh, hey, you tripping. Like, that's not Dak. Zeke, maybe so. Zeke, we saw him back in the Big Ten, throw his coach under the bus. So, that's what we know. But the point that I'm trying to make is simply this. He lost one game, but this man still was the same guy that had, over 3,000-something yards, 20-something touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions on the entire season. There are some quarterbacks that throw 3-4 interceptions and win a game. He had all of that for one season. He still brought you 11 straight victories.
Exactly.
Yes, the last two games, he did not look perfect. And I wrote about this on our website, Fox Sports 1340 AM, that do not give up on Dak Prescott. Yes, the game in Minnesota looked a little shaky. Yes, he made some questionable decisions in the Giants game and looked really bad. Understood. Yes, he threw for around 100 and something yards in both of those games and only walked away with a couple of touchdowns. Understood. Numbers cannot be disputed. And I agree with everybody that has a right to say, hey, Dak, yo, wake up, step back up. We need you to be elite again. Understood. I think Tony Romo only needs to be integrated in this offense, another word of the day. He only needs to be integrated in this offense if this happens. If they play against Tampa Bay and Dak Prescott, completely just is terrible, god-awful. Yes, in the sake of the team continuing trying to push for a championship, if you can integrate Tony Romo against Detroit, especially since Matthew Stafford got that finger situation and they got a very tough schedule over there in Detroit, if you can integrate Tony Romo and he can keep this team moving past Detroit, moving past Philadelphia, on into the postseason, cool. I'm all right with that. But to have those types of remarks coming from your GM, the owner of the team, Dak has been dealing with this since day one. You keep in mind, Ashley, when Dak and Ezekiel both were in the MVP conversations and things like that right after the bye week, I think, when they got ready to play against Philadelphia. Keep in mind, Jerry Jones has been – that's when Tony Romo was supposed to come back, right? Let me just go on a quick rant real quick. Just give me 60 seconds.
Before you even start, we told y'all we was going to dig in Jerry. Listen, we going to – it's real, because he really needs to shut the hell up.
I wish we could say something else, but we can't. But he needs to shut the hell up. Let me tell you what. Right, we can't. Right, let me calm down. Okay, this is why he needs to shut the hell up. It all started when Tony first got injured. You asked Dak Prescott, fourth-round rookie, as I said before, he was just supposed to be that person on the sideline that you'd be like, oh, wait, that's Dak. I remember Dak in Mississippi State. He was never supposed to be who he is today. But he proved himself. Yes, he lost the first game against the Giants. Shout out to Williams for not running out of bounds. We still pissed off about that. But anyway, gave you 11 straight games. And even after the bye when they played against Philadelphia, that's when Dak and all of these, that team was in the prime, like, Jerry continues to say, oh, well, Tony this, Tony that, Tony this, Tony that. And it got so bad to the point that Tony Romo came out here with this rite of passage type speech. You and I, we saw it a little differently. You said it was unnecessary. I felt like it was a little necessary just to kind of tell the media to be quiet, because Dak was sick of answering those questions every single night. After a win, the first thing, oh, so is it your team now? Or, he was sick of that. So Tony gave him the rite of passage. This is your team. Cool. Everything was smooth. It went to, Minneapolis. All right, things was a little shaky, but cool. Dak did his thing. They played, prior to that game, they played on Thanksgiving. Cool. It was all good. But it's Jerry Jones. He's still getting on the radio down there in Dallas, every day he get a chance, oh, well, Tony's this, and Tony that, and Tony got another 4 years in him, and Tony is going to be this, and Tony is going to be that. And it's like, shut the hell up. Let Dak rock. If Dak go out here and throw 5 interceptions against Tampa Bay and is fumbling the ball and he's just looking like a fourth-round rookie should look, cool. Bring Tony in. Bench him. I agree with you because you're trying to keep a winning season going. You're trying to keep you're trying to get home field advantage if you can. You're trying to get that first round bye, you know, the first week bye. You're trying to get all of that. So cool if Tony can come in and that offense can be successful and pick up where it left off at when Dak gave you 11 straight victories. I rock out with that. But to sit there and try to bench the man or imply like, well, I don't know. You just don't know. If you see Tony run out there, then he may be your quarterback. That's absurd. Because yes. You gave this man a team, let him rock. I'll end on this note. Every great quarterback that Dak has played against had their struggles. He played against Aaron Rodgers. Remember everybody in Green Bay was talking about, man, maybe it's time for a change in Green Bay with McCarthy. You know, the Green Bay Packers
exactly.
Is looking kind of shaky. Look at them now, right? They could possibly win the NFC North if they win out and Detroit starts slipping up. Remember Big Ben, he was injured, throwing interceptions, just throwing up. Look at Pittsburgh now.
They now lead the AFC North, yes.
Exactly. So I'll end by saying every big quarterback that Dak has played against has had his struggles. Of course, you don't want your quarterback to struggle. It's such a pivotal point. You always talk about how important December football is. You don't necessarily want him to struggle at this point. But, hey, if Dak can struggle against New York and then come back and have a phenomenal rest of the season and lead this team deep in the playoffs, hey, hats off. Even if they don't go to the Super Bowl, you can't dispute the numbers that Dak, Rain, Dakota, Prescott put up. And I think for that, Jerry Jones, you owe it to show Dak some love and shut the hell up.
Yeah, it's almost like he's not even trying to show him no love. And listen, as I know, we're going to keep it real. We're going to say what we want for the most part. And again, I mean, this is Cowboys on Fox Sports, 1340 AM, Ashley Baker, Josh Vincent. I mean, it's almost like, gosh, it's just irritating. And it has to be, again, I know you said Dak is not that outspoken and he's not really going to say too much, but it's almost like Jerry is just waiting for another moment to try to convince the coaches and, you know, Garrett. And, you know, we're not even going to get into how I feel about Jason Garrett. But, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, puppet master for real, Jerry Jones is. You know, he's pulling strings back there, man. You know what I mean? And I would hate for that to happen again. It's not even, for me, it's not even necessarily about the right now. If Dallas loses out for the rest of the year, just Dak doing what he did and Ezekiel doing what he did and how these guys have rallied behind these two rookies. Going forward for me, that would be okay enough for me to understand, you know, man, give this team 2 or 3 more years and, you know, they could beat one of those Patriot caliber teams. Like, you always have to – when it every beginning of every year, when you talk about who's coming out the AFC, the Patriots are always in the conversation. When
they
you talk about possible Super Bowl appearances, the Patriots have always been in the conversation for at least the last 10-plus years. But that's because they understand how to groom and mature their players. Can you imagine if Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick was just like, oh, you know what, Tom Brady, you're great, but you're the 199th overall pick in the 6th round, and Drew Bledsoe has done so much for us here. Can you imagine what that could have done for his psyche or what that would have done for him? He would probably never have been, but they didn't do that. They encouraged him. They built him up. Listen, this is what we got. This is what we're going to stick with. There was no back and forth. Yes, he did have to come in and help Brady out to a certain point, but there was no question who the quarterback was going forward. After 11 games as a rookie being in a winning streak, we are still questioning who the quarterback is of this franchise going forward. And that's because the GM is allowing that to continue. He's allowing the questions to continue to arise because he's just adding fuel to the fire. That's what he do. And he needs to knock it off because there are teams in our division that are not too far behind in the NFC East.
Yeah.
The Giants have pulled closer now that they have defeated the Cowboys. And the Skins won as well their game. Gosh darn it. It just slipped me. Who did the Redskins play?
They played the Eagles.
You know, so they pull closer. They win, but they'll need help. They are literally probably going to have to root for Dallas for the rest of the season. Specifically if Tampa Bay pulls this game off and beats Dallas. But they will be Redskins Nation, HTTR. Looks like you guys will be rooting for your nemesis because you guys really need Tampa Bay to drop this game because you're not even in the playoff picture. Tampa Bay has taken over that wild card spot. Yeah, so
I definitely have somebody else to tell to shut the hell up. I have nothing but respect for this guy. He plays for the Washington Redskins. His name is Sua Cravens, if I'm not mistaken. After they beat the Eagles, he gets all on Twitter talking about, oh, now y'all love us now. You either a fan or not a fan. Like, I guess he's trying to throw shade at his own fan base, which I thought was kind of asinine. Look, I'm not necessarily a fan of the Cowboys. We talked about that in the first episode of this show. But I feel like the one thing I can say about the Redskins fan base is that fan base is very, very deep. You have people that live, breathe, and sleep HTTR.
Oh,
and I think
absolutely.
As a rookie, Sua, you need to just shut the hell up because you guys are finally doing things on the defensive end. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to your quarterback for finally getting some conversions in the red zone. So don't get mad if the fans are thinking like, man, what's going on? What's up with this product that y'all putting out on the field?
Well, and here's the thing. With the Redskins, it's not even – Kirk Cousins is going to get his money. Kirk Cousins is balling out of control. Kirk Cousins and that offense that they have, Jordan Reed, Pierre Garçon, Deshaun Jackson, Jamison Crowder, who is beast mode. You got Robert Kelly coming out of the basketball whenever he decides to not just run for 37 yards. That was definitely a shot since you wanted to talk all that trash about the Cowgirls, but we're going to keep it 100. The Redskins, they had that offense, that explosive offense. The defense is out of this world terrible. And for you to be on that side, the defense, and to be talking all that trash, it doesn't matter. I'm going to win or lose. I mean, you're going to hear me at times be angry with Dallas. And, you know, just because I'm mad, that don't mean that I don't still care. You know what I mean? So, Sua Cravens, I think he's a rookie, I want to say. Man, I don't know if this is his first or second year.
Yeah,
this is first year. Again, running his mouth like Robert Kelly was. You know, he just really needed to just sit back. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. This is a fan base. The Redskins, Dallas, and the Patriots are the wealthiest franchises in the league, the top three. The Redskins are wealthy like that for a reason, and that has a lot to do with their fan base and the loyalty and how many people buying this and buying that. It's a very loyal franchise. You give it to them. You know,
right.
So he just needs to, like you said, shut the hell up. talking about the Skins, they play Monday night, primetime game as well.
Shout out.
Against the Carolina Panthers. Josh Norman is playing his former team for the first time. This is going to be a good one, man. I don't know if, you know, Josh talk a lot of trash, and I love his energy. And I'm just wondering, you know, he called him his brothers, you know, he called him his, you know, his brothers and,
Boys
and all that. So I'm just wondering how his attitude is kind of going to be going into this game.
You know he's going to be just as ratchet as he always is.
He's going to pop some noise.
He's going to be talking crazy. You know, he probably going to even make some post-game comments. You know, it's going to be the same thing with him and Dez. One minute they best friends, the next minute they talking about who going to pop the trunk and who going to, you know.
unload the clip.
I knew it was something about it.
Right. And so, I think Josh is going to, you know, he's going to pop off. He's definitely going to talk his trash. That's what he do. But I think, I don't know if they're going to have him on Kelvin Benjamin or if they're going to have him on Funches. But I was listening to a radio show. I want to say I was listening to ESPN 980. And they are talking about how they shouldn't even throw in Josh's direction. So while we'll know Josh is there, they're not even going to go his way. So he'll be there, but he won't really be there, if that makes sense, because they're not going to throw in his way. I think Cam is smart enough to know. You know, shout out. I think the Skins will take that game. That's just my thing. I don't necessarily have a score prediction, but I do believe that the Redskins will do what they are supposed to do against the Panthers. The Lions take on the number 2 seed, Detroit Lions. Isn't that crazy how fast things will switch up? Just like 2 weeks ago, Seattle was the number two seed. They take on the Detroit Lions. The last this next game, the Lions have won the last two out of three meetings against the Giants. And Eli has thrown three picks in his last two games, one against the Cowboys. He had two against the Steelers.
Yeah.
What you think about that game? You think, do you think that the Giants defense is going to be able to contain Matthew Stafford, Mr. Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, Mr. Matthew Stafford got a torn ligament in his hand. In his fingers. If I'm not mistaken, the stat that I read, when he had a similar injury, he had 8 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. So he's 50-50. He might throw the right ball to the right person, or he may throw it to anybody on the field. So with that being said, that's my concern for the Detroit Lions. As you mentioned, they got the Giants, they got the Cowboys, and they got the Packers. They got a pretty tough schedule. They have to go to New Orleans, to Dallas, and then play the Green Bay at home.
Yep, and
so,
that's a division game.
And yeah,
you better believe that Green Bay is going to come out understanding what that game means. So absolutely.
Exactly. Because see, this is what's the crazy thing about the NFC North, right? So if Green Bay win out, they could possibly win the division. And look at Green Bay's schedule. They play against the Chicago Bears here in Chicago on Sunday. Now
that's a win for them.
That's a win for them. It's not going to be a good game because it's going to be the coldest game in Chicago's history, given that we're going to have a high of -10. But shout out to Chicago.
Wow.
Right, that's going to be the high -10. But hey, Green Bay, they play in Green Bay, which is where I was from in Chicago, so they're used to that. Then they go to two domes. They go over to Minnesota. Well, it's not a dome anymore, but they go into an inside stadium over in Minnesota.
That's a division game.
That's a division game. And then you know how the Vikings have been playing lately, right? And then they go over to Detroit. So they're right here in the Midwest. They don't have to really travel far. You know, the advantage goes to Green Bay. But to answer your question about the Lions, again, the concern will be Matthew Stafford. If he is out there throwing picks to that Giants defense, then, he's going to have a hard time. He's going to have a really hard time. So they have to win out. They have to do everything they can because the Packers are right there on their heels, and the Packers, can win out. Then the Packers will also win the division. And wouldn't that be crazy? This is the same thing that we would have never thought would have been winning.
Not when they were sitting at 4-6. A couple weeks ago, so definitely. So, so I think the Lions defense will do a good job. I think Eli will struggle. I think Eli will struggle again.
I could see
again,
that. I mean, cause
I think this will be a second game where he struggles.
Yeah, I can see that.
Straight
see
third.
That.
Well, third game. That'll be three games. I think he's gonna struggle a bit, and I think that the Lions defense will take care of business. I think the Lions are probably going to win that game. I think for some reason the Lions, they're doing what they're supposed to do, and they kind of balling. Matthew Stafford is Matthew Stafford, torn ligament or not. I think he'll have a great game. If it was that bad, he wouldn't be playing. So I think they're going to win that game. The Lions.
True,
I don't know. I don't have a score prediction for that either.
Yeah, I don't either. But it's just so much at stake. I think that's the reason why he has to play. I think if they had a couple of games over Green Bay, then he wouldn't mind sitting out a game or two, because then even if they dropped a couple of, they still, you know, leading the division. But because that's not the situation with them, I think he kind of has to play. And also, I think it's also a thing for the Detroit to finally win this conference. When you think about how this NFC North conference has been going, it's been all Green Bay dominant up until last year when Minnesota won it.
Absolutely.
And that's when Aaron Rodgers was coming off his worst season ever. So for both of these teams, it's a pride thing. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers trying to show the dominance of the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North, and then you got Matthew Stafford trying to show, hey, you know, we are not the funny Lions. We are the Detroit Lions, and we are going to make some noise. And it's their conference to lose, to be honest. It is.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, guys, you're listening into Cowboy Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM. We are going to start wrapping it up here. We're going to get into the AMVP and the JMVP. Of the Dallas versus Giants game, without saying it's going to go to the unit known as the Dallas Cowboys and that defense. If I had narrow it down to one person, just because he's just always on his game, it doesn't matter if the unit has a bad game overall. he's the one that's always just having a great game. I would have to give it to Sean Lee. But as a unit, I'm going to just give it to the Dallas Cowboys defense. Definitely the MVP, MVP of that game for me.
I would agree. I would say my JMVP. You know who I'm going to give it to? And y'all are going to talk about me for this, but I'm going to give it to this guy. I'm going to give it to the guy who just always is a team player, despite what the GM is saying, despite what the media is saying, despite people calling for him to be benched.
Lord, here we go again.
y'all probably think I'm on Dak's payroll, but I'm not. Look, I'm going to give it to Rain because he goes through so much. And I'm not an apologist for Dak, but he goes through so much. And all he's trying to do is be a great team player, and he's led this team to great heights. Think about it. You're a Cowboys fan. Without Dak and what he's done and his offensive line and Zeke, they would not even be in a Super Bowl conversation.
Absolutely.
I gotta give Dak just being a team player because Dak could have a meltdown at that press conference. Dak could just start cursing and flipping microphones, but he don't do that. He is an honorable young man, very respectful young man. He had a nice bow tie, all of that. Dak Prescott, I think just on those principles alone, we gotta give Dak some love. If Jerry ain't gonna give him some love, we're going to show him some love.
We're definitely going to show him some love here at Cowboy Zone. And this is it, guys. We are definitely so happy. It seems like we haven't been able to top it up with you guys in quite some time. And you have to shout out your areas down in Texas for me, Josh.
Shout out to everybody in Fort Worth. I was down there doing the story down in Fort Worth on TCU basketball team. They're 9-1. Just want to give a quick shout out to TCU and the basketball team, everybody over there at Fort Worth. Shout out to Dallas, the city of Dallas. I had a great time up at the North Park Mall. You know, Ashley, next time we go to Dallas together, we got to go to the North Park Mall because it's some nice shopping up in there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is it expensive?
Yeah. It's very expensive, so they told me I had to go down to Kmart.
Well, honey, I don't know if I'm going. Yeah. If it's very expensive, you might have to count me out on that trip. I can do some window shopping with you.
Yeah, well, that's what I was doing, and the lady was like, excuse me, can I help you? And so I had to bounce.
Look out for us at that mall, folks. We'll be there. We'll be the ones without bags in our hands.
Check us out.
You know, if you see that, just automatically know it's Ashley and Josh from Cowboy Zone. So
Shout out to Urban. Grapevine, Denton, Weatherford. Oh, one more shout out. Shout out to the Waffle House in Benbrook. I went to that Waffle House. Baby, when I tell you, they have the best. Let me sound like I'm down from New Orleans, you hear me, baby? When I tell you about that Waffle House over in Bentonbrook, baby, we got to go back down to Texas.
I'm definitely all for it. So, guys, we have had so much fun talking to you guys. We are signing out. Please make sure that you follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Fox Sports 1340 AM. Please go to our website. Well, this podcast is actually going to be there for your listening pleasures.
Sure.
Again, we haven't heard from you guys as far as a lot of you guys. We heard from some of you guys. We haven't heard enough. We want you guys to reach out to us on our Twitters and, you know, ask us some questions that you would like us to address on the next show. My Twitter is AshleyBaker_21. Josh's Twitter is
The Josh A. Vincent. Definitely follow us, as you mentioned, Fox Sports 1340 AM on everything, or sometimes it's 1340 AM Fox Sports. I think that's what it is on Instagram. Somebody twisted up on us because you know, but it's all good. Definitely, like you say, follow us. Jerry Jones just texted us. Actually, he told us to shut the hell up. How did he? That's what he told us.
Listen,
Jerry better watch it, man. This is our show. This is Cowboys Zone. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to do this. This is what it is.
We signing out. We signing out, man. We signing out. We don't do it. We signing out. Again, make sure you follow us on Fox Sports 1340am.com. That is the website. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Periscope, Snapchat, wherever you are. We are signing out. Josh, we must do this again. We will talk to you guys after Dallas hosts the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday night at 8:30 in Jerry World. We
all
out.
All right, for sure, for sure. Have a good night, everybody.